This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you praise and thanks for your great example of humble service. You who did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at, but took the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. May we take from your example your grace, so that we too might live lives of true humility, dependent upon you and upon your Father. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Well, it is Labor Day weekend, and we are all resting from our labors, but it looks like some are resting from their church service as well. But we thank you for being here on this Labor Day weekend. I don't know about you, but I am sick and tired of lightning. I have been here 12 and a half years, and I believe, if I've counted correctly, we are now preparing the seventh insurance claim for lightning damage at this church that we have had to endure. And this last one that happened about 4 weeks ago, when a lot of you were here between the 9:30 and the unplugged service, messed up the sound system, knocked out the DVRs, messed up the computers, all sorts of electronics went haywire. We are, as you know, the highest natural point in Boynton Beach. And that image of us as the church on the hill is one that's hard enough to live up to, and yet now we have God who likes to zap us with lightning all the time, and we are a lightning magnet, being the highest point. We have spent tens of thousands of dollars at this church in my time, let alone what was spent before me, on trying to protect this place, this campus, from lightning, and yet it just seems to always find a new way of zapping something. Fortunately, it hasn't zapped anybody. Lightning needs to be grounded. The power needs to be grounded. And I think that metaphor is one that comes out of our readings today, that we need to be properly grounded. I've told some of you the story that when I left the Roman Catholic Church and embarked on a corporate career, my first job, I didn't get paid very much, and so I had to find the cheapest apartment that I could. And it happened to be in a section of St. Louis called The Hill. It's the Italian ghetto. And it was this little house that had been converted by the owner into a downstairs and upstairs apartment. The challenge was, this guy had absolutely no expertise whatsoever. He was not a carpenter, he was not an electrician, he wasn't a plumber, he wasn't a general contractor. He just did stuff. And so, much to my surprise and literal shock, I went to take a shower for the first time, and he had grounded the electricity onto the pipes of the shower. I was blown literally out of the shower into the adjoining room. The police said the only reason I survived it was because I grabbed both knobs attached to the two pipes at the same time, and the charge went through me and somewhere else out the other pipe. We need to be grounded properly. When we take this into our spiritual realm, the gospel today that Jesus is talking about in terms of humility tells us about how we need to be grounded. The word humility itself, from the root word humus, of the earth. We are of the earth. You know, every Ash Wednesday, you go to any Christian church and you get ashes on your forehead, and they usually say something like, "Remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Now, some people think that can be a morbid outlook upon our life, but when we think of it in this context, it is a very positive powerful notion. Because what it tells us is that we are in some sense the same. That we as humanity, same root word again, are of the earth. That in some sense we are all united. Whether we are rich or poor, young or old, gay or straight, male or female, whatever, we are all in some way united. And it is out of that that we can live a life of humility. I don't know if you noticed in the gospel today, but we have Luke chapter 14, and it says verse 1, comma, then 7 to 14. What happened to verses 2 through 6? Well, guess what Jesus does in those verses? Once again, a man comes up who is ill, some kind of palsy. It's the Sabbath again, just like it was with the lady last week. 18 years plus, she had had this infirmity. Nobody pays attention to her. Nobody even sees her but Jesus. And Jesus heals this man just like he did the lady last week. This is the way Jesus is. He is always reaching out to whoever the world might seem to think doesn't matter. Jesus shows true hospitality. And that is the theme that comes out of our reading from Hebrews today. The beautiful script that you see on the bulletin cover this week that contains those lines from Hebrews were done by Celtic artist Mary Fleeson from Lindisfarne, who's become a friend of our pilgrimages, whom we visit when we go over there now. But she's captured well that verse. And it refers, of course, back to that story in the Old Testament where Abraham had the visitors come and he takes care of them, gives them hospitality, and it turns out, guess who it was? It was God in disguise. This notion of hospitality, of our humility, of being one with the earth and in some way all joined as one, enables us to reach out and be hospitable people. You know, that same root word is the one we use for the place down the street, hospital. And this church, this body of people, are just as much a hospital as anything. That we all should realize that none of us are perfect, that we need each other. You always have to be hospitable because you never know. Those great words of Rick Warren, your true character is who you are when you think nobody else is looking. And it becomes important for us to, especially to those whom we don't know, to be good to them because we never know. But we do know because in some way we are joined to them. You know, I love to tell the story that some years ago I was gifted to go to Cuba with Bishop Friday, the first time he had gone back to where he was born. And we were going to the place where Elian Gonzalez, remember that whole saga we went through? We were going to go and see the church that was closest to Elian's house. But there was no hotels to stay in other than what we would consider to be the Club Med kind of places that were the all-inclusive kind of things. And so one night, Brian Hobbs, most of you know Archdeacon Hobbs, he looked at me and he said, "This is all-inclusive." "Yep," Bishop Friday said. "That means there's free beer." "Yep." So Brian looked at me and he said, "Let's go." So Brian and I went, and we were having a beer down at the beach bar, and there was this young group of college kids who were gathered there. Now, they were intrigued because we looked American, and so they called us over. They were from Canada, and they said, "How did you guys get in here?" And we explained who we were, and just a gradual reveal of this, I said, "Well, we're from Florida." And the girl said, "Oh, I'm from Florida. Excuse me. I have a grandmother from Florida." "Really?" So yeah, she's Canadian, but she comes down to Boynton Beach in the wintertime. Really? Well, I'm from Boynton Beach. She said, yeah, she goes to some church down there. I think it's called St. Joe's or something like that. Now, I don't have permission to reveal the names, but it turns out it's one of our snowbirds, her granddaughter, who had jumped on a plane with some of her friends and were partying it up down in Varadero, Cuba. And then she asked what I did for a living. And when I told her I was her grandmother's priest, she sort of pushed the liquor to the side. But we just said, have a good time. You always have to behave because you never know. Hospitality. The ability we have to reach out to other people. Now, there's an important link here. You know, we always want to say that we're going to be better at being humble. You know, somebody waggishly said, I'm very proud of my humility. Can't very well do that, can you? You know, the Ben Franklin, he writes in his almanac that he had decided he was going to work on each of the virtues one by one, but his fatal flaw was he left humility for last. So by the time he got to that, he was so good at the other things, he couldn't be humble anymore, he writes. So how can we learn to be more humble, to be people of humility? There are some ways. And one of them I want to share with you today is written by Richard Foster, who wrote a great book called The Spiritual Disciplines. And this is what he writes. More than any other single way, the grace of humility is worked into our lives through the discipline of service. Humility, as we all know, is one of those virtues that is never gained by seeking it. The more we pursue it, the more distant it becomes. To think we have it is sure evidence that we don't. Therefore, most of us assume there's nothing we can do to gain this prize Christian virtue, and so we do nothing. But there is something we can do. We do not need to go through life faintly hoping that someday humility may fall upon our heads. Of all the classical spiritual disciplines, service is the most conducive to the growth of humility. When we set out on a consciously chosen course of action that accents the good of others and is for the most part a hidden work, a deep change occurs in our spirits. Nothing disciplines the inordinate desires of the flesh like service. And nothing transforms the desires of the flesh like serving in hiddenness. The flesh whines against service, but screams against hidden service. It strains and pulls for honor and recognition. It will devise subtle, religiously acceptable means to call attention to the service rendered. If we stoutly refuse to give in to this lust of the flesh, we crucify that. Every time we crucify the flesh, we crucified our pride and arrogance and thus become humble people. As I go through my limited experience of life, I feel like the closest that I ever approach humility is when I am able to associate with and get involved in areas of service. Perhaps this is the day that we honor people in the hospitality industry. Why? Because somebody has to clean the toilets. Somebody has to serve the meals. Somebody has to clean the sheets and make the beds. Somebody has to take away the trash. And it is in our relationship with those people to honor them that perhaps we become more humble. If you've ever been blessed with going on a mission trip with this church or with any church, or get involved with Habitat for Humanity, it is something that we say is a humbling experience, but it brings us in touch with that virtue. Because in some way, it for us levels the playing field and we realize our dependence upon God, but because we are doing something with others, we unite with them in some special way. This is an incredible opportunity that we are given. Jesus gives this example of perfect humility by his life and invites us to join in that service. May we be people of humility and hospitality and never forget to honor those who make such a difference for us. Amen.